Gateway. And I said, you know, we fully expect that you're going to go out to bid on this because it was just so high, which we ended up doing. And this will save us considerable amount of money. And your Schedule A does have the listings of the buildings, if anybody cares. But several buildings that's covered, pretty much all of them.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. Okay, so I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 294, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with 3M Company. Your motion?
I will also happily move this one.
Second?
I'll second it.
Yeah,
Seems very cool.
Yeah. I had reached out. Apparently, they're keeping all the locations of the signage on index cards right now. So they were pretty excited about having the GPS and, yeah. I thought
index cards
was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big undertaking to have this kind of GIS and everything mapped out on every sign, essentially, in the entire county, but it, you know, with the county the size of Rhode Island, this will help inform us, and then basically, you know, we'll know what condition the signs are in, and it'll help us a little bit with the replacement and where signs are necessary, where there's too many signs, which ones are working well, you know. Well, because that signs pollution
places,
can
oh my
be,
goodness, yeah, I've seen that. There's like four all in just one, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you look at even like the Empire State, that trail that was just built, I mean, in New Paltz, where South Ohioville is, or South Putt Corners, I should say. These aren't our signs, the state signs, but you have like 15 signs on one corner. So I don't think we have that bad of a situation. But
I know when we did, Route 211 down in Middletown, put the third lane down, to the, you know, the turning lane, there were so many one-way signs to go in and out of the businesses.
Yeah.
That the first week they opened it up, they had 15 rear-end accidents. So they reevaluated everything and then just took probably 30-35% of the signs out of the contract.
I hope, and I haven't talked to Tom about this, but I hope that we go out and remove every end 40-mile-per-hour speed zone. Whatever it says, like, I always get so confused about why we have those signs up and why it doesn't just say the actual speed limit. It doesn't help me if you say end 35 miles per hour, because what is it?
But
the Eddyville Bridge right before that. And
I don't know what the speed limit is.
That's a state law, and it's part of the MUTCD, Manual Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And it's so you can enforce the speed limit, there has to be a termination. So the 30-mile-an-hour ends here, and then another
maybe
one
add starts. A sign, but there's sections
there's no sign that says
that
how fast
that
you're supposed to go.
It just says end and doesn't tell you what the new speed limit is.
Yeah,
well,
if it does
more,
not, if it does,
but you don't know what.
Right.
Yeah.
If it does not,
I just
say
assume
anything
75
beyond that,
yeah.
It's the state speed limit of 55 miles an hour.
Right. If not posted, 55. I don't know.
Yep. It's supposed to be the rule of thumb, except in the city of Kingston.
I do have one question about this, which Mark, I'm not sure you'll be able to answer, but it just—I wondered if there were any other sources of funding for this, and I guess we want to do it, and we're going to pay for it, and it seems, you know, worthwhile.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody did reach out to Dennis to see if he see if he could identify some places where we might offset some of this.
I know they have worked with Dennis on this, and I don't think that there's
maybe
anything.
Nothing
for,
came through.
We're working with Dennis on, you know, getting, for instance, we had a intern through Cornell Cooperative who's doing the road conditions. He was trained for this summer, so he's going out, and we're having one person do every, like, he learned how to grade the road conditions for all the county roads, and we're compiling a database for that, and that was paid for funds partially out of the Transportation Council. This was not, so I know that we do have a good partnership with Dennis. I just,
so
if it was available,
that probably was
be
a better fit, maybe. And
right.
We can't get everything covered.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially when we're replacing the Worth Street Bridge. So
Yay! They can shoot another movie.
$45 million. It's a lot of our.
We're replacing it.
Yes. We're not. The state is, okay. But that's a lot of transportation council money, right there.
We charge them to use it, and then we can't pay for the bridge.
Well, yeah, that was closed for 5 days. It's. I thought Nicole Kidman could do it in one scene, but it was 5 days. Helicopters.
Do you actually use that bridge?
All the time, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had to go a different route a couple of times, but. You know, for Nicole Kidman, I'm willing,
I'm
glad to have her here for longer. Yeah.
Well, she should be able to do it in one day.
No,
she's
a professional. We get more money for our local businesses if it takes longer.
Yeah,
we want them to be efficient.
I was told that they had a lot of those blocked off to the public, so hopefully the crew is spending lots of money.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Yeah. Okay, ready to call the vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution's moved. Resolution 302, approving the work order for the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York for design and construction phase services for phase two of campus roof project for Hardenburg Hall. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Any discussion?
I know these are various phases.
There's so many of them.
We did the portion above the lecture hall. When we redid the Jack Rose Memorial Lecture Hall, I believe this is just the next phase because the entire roof needed to be redone. But even though that's the one lecture hall, I think there's a few different roofs on there. So we've already replaced the section above the lecture hall. Now this is just the rest of the floor.
How's the bridge coming along? Are they done with that? The pedestrian bridge?
No. Because Parrot, I think you just approved last month the contract for Parrot.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just beginning that. Our DPW went out and demolished the pedestrian bridge, and their hope is to be done before school starts. But literally, it's just starting.
On the
ramp.
I asked this all the time, but just is there anything special being done for insulation or also to ensure the structural integrity for possible solar in the future?
I can follow up with Jamie on that.
I think Jamie addressed it previously, but I'm not sure what she said.
Yeah.
We could check our minutes.
Okay, is there any other discussion? I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into, Resolution 304. To enter into an agreement with Ulster County Community College for the public safety training facility located at 250 Ulster Landing Road in the town of Ulster.
I'll move it.
Hold a second.
So this is not the... Because I thought when they were talking about a training center as far as the actual academic part of it, they were still going to be doing it at the SUNY Ulster campus.
I mean, there is a lecture hall at the SUNY Ulster campus, but the fire companies need to be able to have classroom space in order to train. This lease allows us also to... In order to get... match state funds. This needs to be a SUNY facility, at least leased. So this is us leasing the facility to SUNY, which allows us then to recuperate half the capital costs, which is why we're giving it to them for $10
a year.
They will provide the janitorial services, we'll provide maintenance.
And this will be the three-story burn building, or will it be
this is the three-story
burn
building.
This is a three-story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This will be the whole training center.
The whole training
center. So when
area.
We come back to you with whatever the administration building, what we decide to do there as well, which I kind of told the chairwoman that we would try to have some answer on that by the end of this year.
Mm.
I know she didn't want it to... linger on. So right now we're pricing out what we could do with a modular, if there's things that we could take out of the original plans so that it's not $1 million build. And if it is, we're not going to spend $1 million on that administrative building if there was going to be $1 million to spend, we'd build brand new.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, I mean, it was originally an $80,000 building. To drop $760,000 on construction costs just doesn't make sense. So,
Legislator Nolan?
So I had one question, because in some of the, in Schedule B, I guess it is, there's landlord and tenant roles, and then it goes to vendor for the insurances. And so I had a little question of whether or not that schedule for the vendor was appropriate here, or whether the vendor is the tenant, or
so it is, I mean, the language is probably not the best language, but it is the tenant, because this is the general Schedule C for a lease of all county buildings.
Right.
But instead of, for whatever reason, instead of saying lessee, lessor, landlord or tenant, they stuck with vendor.
So I don't know that we need to do anything. I leave that, I think we could take a recommendation on that. But it would also be possible at some point in the lease agreement to say, where it says the lease agreement is between the parties, to say the tenant or slash vendor, and that would cover it. Also in the section 104 on rent, there are just some typos where it says $10 for the first year, but then says payable on an annual basis. Maybe it should say also payable, or also payable, and there's no parentheses at the end of that.
Where is this at?
This is in section 104 under the lease agreement, first page, witnesseth, article 1, premises, terms, and rents, section 1.04, headed rent. It's poorly worded, and then there's not a closing of parentheses at the end. It's minor. I mean, it's clear what the intent is.
Right.
I don't know whether anybody needs to clean that up, but it wouldn't be. I know this has already gone through one committee, so I'm not saying that it's an important change.
No, but so whenever we put up these kind of contracts, the last kind of final resolve just talks about in the form filed with the clerk of the Ulster County Legislature, or as modified with the approval of the county attorney. Uh-huh. So it is in draft form. You'll see that it says draft, so we can...
That's right.
It's always been the thought of the administration and the county attorney that we're able to clean up stuff like that, and as long as we're not making a substantive change, we're able to go ahead and do that without something being re-approved. So
I would just call that to your attention.
Yes,
then.
I appreciate that.
And there's also a kind of silly thing where the tenant is required on that building to maintain the fire suppression system and sprinklers.
Yeah.
So, and probably they should, because they would probably be some in a building. Mm-hmm. But I did find it amusing to note that.
Although there could still be,
I was thinking a cost. Yeah, associated with it.
Just for all the newbies, in case they can't get the fire out. Legislator Green?
That's what Mike is saying.
Yeah, I asked this in caucus, and I still need clarification. Town of Ulster is the landlord. Is that?
No, on this, we are the landlord.
Okay.
The college is the...
But we have an MOU with the town of Ulster. Is that correct for using... And I had requested that we see that MOU.
Okay.
I just really want to understand the relationship.
Last month, I think we approved it.
Okay.
Maybe. I can look. I can send it to Nutty.
I had questions in caucus, and I don't remember getting the answer, but if I have missed a document that I should just go back and read, I can do that.
Either way, I'll have it sent to Nutty.
Yeah. But for this resolution, We are the landlord.
Oh. Yes.
And the college is the tenant. Okay.
TWCP. Call it the Capital Projects Committee. That would help us.
Yeah. You ready?
Aye.
Okay. Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Resolution 305, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease with Ulster Savings Bank for space to be used by the Board of Elections.
I'll move it.
Move it. Second. Is there a space for them to move into a county-owned building so we're not leasing?
Not right now. I think after some...
Because they're kind of tight in there now.
They are. Ulster Savings Bank is trying to sell this building, which is why this is a one-year lease. And it's something that we're going to have to evaluate over the next year because we don't believe that we probably, after this lease, will be able to stay in this building. Now, whether we want to move the Board of Elections operations out of kind of uptown or midtown Kingston may not be wise just because people go back and forth from there. You want it in an area that is
ground floor is good
accessible. So we are going to have to find someplace. As far as county owned buildings, you know, I don't know that I would want to tuck them up. Eventually, I think the goal would be to move out IIS out of the IIS building. There's places they could go and then fix the kind of the knee wall or sell it. I suppose you could tuck Board of Elections back there, but I don't think you'd want to because I think you'd, again, want it to be a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, the location's not that
good. So, short answer is no. But unless there's some place in this, operations in this building that can be moved out. But it's kind of a longer term solution that we're going to have to figure out in the next year or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that goes quick.
Yeah.
Especially for budgeting.
This brings up the rates to the current rates that we've been using for the public defenders in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
The previous, it went from like $9 a square foot to $14 a square foot because the previous lease was signed 5 years ago when Uptown was not nearly as booming as this.
Yeah, I did look at the annual amount, but it includes electric and heat and everything.
Right.
So, for that area.
Not bad.
$2,000 a month.
Okay. There's no other
discussion. I'm glad it's a one-year lease, though.
I mean, it is, right.
Push us to look.
Yeah.
So, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution number 306. Authorizing additional funding for capital project number 528, Veterans Cemetery, to meet the environmental and permitting requirements and seeking lead agency status under New York State Environmental Quality Review Act.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
So we came to you not too long ago for establishing design costs for this cemetery. What was left out, because this was kind of a project that was being... led by our Veterans Service Agency as opposed to planning or public works, was the consulting cost for a seeker. And so that's what this is adding in. It's adding in, it was approved at $820,000, and this is adding $42,000 for the environmental services for seeker.
And it looks like the seeker, even though it's a type 2 action, is going to be more complicated because it's the village-county line, and there is a cemetery which is potentially not included in the zoning for that district, although similar things are included.
So, right, this is across the road from where we are right now. We're trying to expand, and the cemetery where the area where we are now is in the town, and this new area is in the village.
So this will actually be across Plains Road? It's not in the same existing side, because I couldn't tell.
Yes, it's across.
Because it was significant. I didn't think there was that much space. It's a beautiful cemetery. It's breathtaking when you go
there. This will be a very it'll be a nice area, and quite frankly, they would prefer that we expanded into this area as opposed to trying to take more space where we are now.
Okay.
And part of this is to build a committal shelter, because right now, even in bad weather, everything's done out in the open, so people are just getting rained on if there's a service. And this will have a committal shelter that'll be under a roof. And
Nice.
But this is for the seeker. I don't have the design firm in front of me, but I get that for you.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Let's see. Old business, new business.
I have one question for... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mom.
Would like to just bring up the question of UCAT, and I think that went through this committee, the transferring
economic
the bus...
Economic development last night.
I've been getting a lot of feedback about, particularly about cutting out service to Pocock. And I'm just wondering if that can be revisited. You know, that people will get used to changes in the labels on the buses and even changes in routes. But when service is cut, even if only a few people were using it, those people probably really needed it.
So what I'll say is we're going to reevaluate everything in 3 months. There was no service that was cut to Ponkonki. The bus routes don't go through there, but we're actually expanding service. So everybody in the city of Kingston is essentially on a bus route, because right now, if you're in Ponkonki and you want to get the bus, you call an hour ahead of time. An on-demand bus, a smaller bus, will get you to the bus route.
Your residence.
I know you do that in the rest of the county, but
I'll bring you to the route.
We'll bring you to the route and get you on the bus.
And then the comment was, if they get enough of those calls from an area, they may consider expanding it.
So the hard part about just going in and just saying we're going to go into Ponkonki and then is that where we have our hubs, where they transfer from one bus to the other. So right now it's not like just adding. People wouldn't think like adding 5 minutes to go through there and maybe coming up the rondout and then hitting, that's not such a big deal. But when it's meeting, when that bus, the blue bus, is meeting the yellow bus to transfer to hit social services, or I think what we're looking at, to be honest, is just making sure that yellow bus, it's the blue bus that I think goes to Port Ewan. Making sure that it's being used, and that if like a worst case scenario would be you go one bus goes to Ponkonki and then the next loop goes to Port Ewan and then the next one goes to
instead of every half hour
it'd be every hour depending on uses. If it's being used in Port Ewan, then we'll have to look at something else, because we don't want to take service away from there either. So we really are spending the next 90 days, and the I think the tendency is for people to want us to make a change like right away, but we need to figure out the ridership, and we need to make sure that any change isn't just too reactionary, and that there's not too short of amount of time. I will say that I think we could have done a better job rolling out communications on some of this. And we're looking at different ways to kind of remedy that now, whether it be more mailings. I think that for the people who ride the bus every day, we got those people, because for the last month or so, the City of Kingston drivers were handing out information. We're giving the information that was necessary to the regular riders. I think what you have now is people who maybe didn't ride the bus all that often and maybe just showed up at wanted to ride the bus from time to time, are showing up. I also think that there's some groups out there that are also being very vocal, which is great. It's great to hear everybody's opinions.
New Paul's peeps. So we had them in New Paul's. Now you got them here in the City of Kingston. They're gravitating up into this area undergoing a renaissance, but they don't take no for an answer. Right. Just give you a heads up on that.
But no, I think that there's a more basic question. Was there service when Kingston was running the bus service? Was there service to Ponkonkaki that is no yes. longer?
There probably could have been because yeah. there was buses that would snake all throughout the uh-huh. city, uh-huh. and the routes could take an hour and a half to get uh-huh. from one place in Kingston to the other. We can get from one place in Kingston in a half hour, and if you have to transfer from one side, it might be two. I mean, yeah. longest is about an hour at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the point that the critics, I don't think, have kind of adjusted to, which is that previously they counted it as bus service. If a bus traversed this long snake-like path over the course of an hour and a half yeah. and then connected back to something. That same section is now served by this on-demand system, which is an hour in advance. You call and you say, I'd like to get there. And they will come and deliver you there in a fraction of that time. I think they're aiming for like 10 to 15 minutes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the other bus is running at half hour intervals. So okay. a previous route that would have taken an hour and a half could now be accomplished in a half hour. But people aren't used to the notion of an on-demand route.
Right.
And I think we should have called it that. We should mm-hmm. have called it the on-demand route and right. say that that route is picking up all the other routes that aren't in the red, yellow, and blue.
Right. And the other thing that we could have done is that we didn't do signage at the old... This came up last night. We didn't do as much signage at the old shelters that aren't on the new routes. So if you had a... And what people don't That's understand is UCAP being a rural route, you can flag it down at any... you see the bus coming, you raise your hand, the bus stops for you. City of Kingston bus, city bus wasn't like that.
Yes.
They had designated stops.
Yep.
So people aren't realizing that where maybe they're a block or two off of the route, they actually don't have to get to a designated stop. They can just wave it down anywhere. So most likely, it's much yeah. closer to 95% of the population the buses are running than others. And once they understand the on-demand system and that it is now only an hour, which when we first rolled out, it was going to be night before, which didn't really work for people. Mm-hmm. And I understand that was just a mistake on our part. But once we realized, well, from the UCAT station, you can get anywhere in the city of Kingston in 40 minutes. So now it's, you call ahead an hour. And then if you know what time you need to catch it again, when you make that appointment, you can actually make the appointment for both being picked up and being picked up from at the end of the day. The if route. You don't know, we just ask you to call again ahead. When you know when you're mm-hmm. going to be, we'll pick you up.
And it's free for a year in the city?
So the only thing is the on-demand is 50 cents.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Starting now. Oh, okay.
And it'll be $1.50 when... So it costs 50 cents to be picked up and taken to the...
I'm just wondering about people that are using public transportation to get to work, and they need to do that every day. If there is a bus stop, you know, they can plan to be there in time for the bus.
Otherwise,
they have to, every single morning, call an hour ahead for on-demand, and... I wonder if that's going to work, especially if some morning there are more people than usual calling for on-demand mm-hmm. and you just have one. How many on-demand?
There's, I think, probably 2-3 people on the phones at dispatch. What I would say to that is we ask for a minimum of an hour. If someone is using it to get to work and they know that they need to be picked up at 9 o'clock, they can just make that appointment for the whole week.
Okay.
We ask for a minimum of an hour for the on-demand service.
Okay.
It's better if we know sooner.
Yeah, and then you have a dispatcher that can schedule.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Actually, two dispatchers.
I just want to be able to answer because I'm getting emails. And mm-hmm. I'm sure
I think that people will realize, and this is, again, we didn't do a good job on the rollout of the communication. I think when people realize that we've expanded service in the city of Kingston. The city bus was not a functioning, well-run system, and you can tell that by the ridership, which was 80,000 annually, which is, we hope in this first year to be at 200,000.
They already have, are doing about 200 and some people a day, aren't they?
Yes.
Or at least during the
week.
And
it was like 150 a day, something like that.
And the other thing that you get, both on the buses but also by this on-demand system, is you get you get data on where people are needing service. And if there is an area where they're sending an on-demand bus all the time, mm-hmm. then it'll make more sense to have the route go there. But the current schedule is based on the best data we had from the past of who was riding where and who filled out surveys and said they were going to ride where.
City bus had no data. I mean, they really didn't on ridership and where they weren't tracking that.
Huh. We just had to guess?
We did a study. We did a transit study, which involved... Yeah, we had a consulting company create the routes. Uh-huh. So they did that by being at the plaza. They did that by spending time riding the routes, buses, talking to the bus drivers. Mm-hmm. And they were transportation planners, and they designed the routes. Whereas City Bus was designed many times by the alderman that just said, we would like the bus to go through these streets, and that's why it ended up being like this snake, because everybody wanted the bus to go through their street or their house, and it became this massive
system.
Door-to-door
would be awesome. Utopia, right?
So, what's that?
I said door-to-door would be utopia.
That'd be great if we could do it to where people actually rode it, because it was not 2 hours.
Well, if I go from Port Ewan to New Paltz, it takes 2.5 hours. So I was just wondering if I could call the on-demand, if it would take me out to the New Paltz,
It takes you 2.5 hours because it takes you...
Yeah, because I have to go from Port Ewan, then I have to switch at Garrigan, then it takes me to the plaza, and then from the plaza it goes through... Well, before they were actually missing each other by 5 minutes, so I'd have to wait like 45 minutes for the next bus to come around.
In Kingston, you mean?
Yeah, because the Kingston bus would get there at whatever, 7:35, but the other bus would leave at 7:30. So it was a challenge.
So it was taking you 2.5 hours with City Bus, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've taken it since?
I haven't. I'm really dying to try it. It's nice. It's like getting chauffeured. Plus, you know, it's nice not to drive all the time. I did that. I had 5 kids. It's nice to sit on bus.
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds.
I think legislator Litz may be onto something here.
What, an Uber bus?
Well, we could call it UberCat because we're actually doing something like Uber.
Oh, that might be a fun...
You could call that on-demand service,
right?
UberCat.
Uber might sue us.
There's got to be over in another language that would be cool.
Right.
But Uber is so nice because it's got the U in it. How do you say over like Uber but in Spanish? Or it was sobra.
She called it Cooper or something, like the cat Uber? Cooper?
Yeah, the Cougar service.
The Cougar service. That has all kinds of different
kinds. High school tigers.
Carol Hansen attended economic development and tourism last night and took questions, and you know, I really think that the idea here is enhanced service, and that there are kinks whenever you make a transition, so it's important for the ridership and those who are not even riders but who are watching what's happening to have a little bit of patience. As I mean, it's now 2 days old, right?
Right.
The service.
Day three.
The 3 days old. So the first week, I think, is going to be the hardest for everybody. And then we should be, you know, taking all of this information and seeing if there's something that has to be fixed right away or something that can wait for the 3 months.
And I'm pricing out. I know Legislator Waltman last night had requested that we do a mailing like they did when they rolled out the recycling. So I'm pricing that out to maybe do a, you know,
every door direct
with the maps and the schedule and some brief
information. I like the Twitter. Pat Ryan and the mayor did a Twitter. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
Are the maps up on the UCAT site?
Yes.
I'm writing it tomorrow because from the plaza down to the waterfront.
The shuttle, the 4th of July shuttle.
Yeah, so I'll let you know
how it goes. We don't normally do shuttles, but since Kingston had done the 4th of July shuttle every year, we agreed to do it this year. We'll see.
I think that's really important because to unburden the traffic downtown.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe all the all the families and seniors were all, you know, getting a ride and you can drink. And
St. Patrick's Day Parade.
She said, wear pink.
I marched down and walked back one year in the rain.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Uphill?
Mm-hmm. Both ways.
Both ways.
They do that every year. Shamrock run down, walk back, and watch the parade. Park at the county office building.
I parked the county office building, marched down, and walked back.
It's a good round trip.
Nice hill.
We need the shuttle coming back. Mm-hmm.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Okay, second.
I'll second that.
All right. Everybody have a safe and happy holiday.
Yes, happy 4th of July,
I think
everyone.
We covered it.
Oh, this ain't coming.
Kayleen was supposed to be scheduling that, so...